Blog Talk Radio.
This program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Basically, the 1% of the motorcycle community who operates outside the law.
Their total focus is on hatred for the enemy. They have a policy of shoot or kill on sight if they can.
It's bullshit. Law enforcement just tries to paint this picture to the media and just cover up their bullshit, cover up their lies, and I just like to say fuck them.
I can tell. Oh, yeah. What'd you think of last night's show? That was way awesome.
Yeah. It, Sutter wrote, I guess Sutter wrote that episode himself. The whole thing.
Wow.
Rusty popped in and out last night.
Yeah, I saw that. Actually, I went to go watch it after when we were done last night, and I fell asleep like within 5 to 8 minutes until it woke up, and then had fallen back asleep, and then watched it at 6:30 this morning.
I was talking about him popping in on the show last night.
I know what you meant.
Mm-hmm.
That was awesome.
Yeah, I told Bill about the clouds.
Okay, double dog. She is wonderful and funny.
Mm-hmm.
They're both lucky to have each other, you know.
Yeah. Now, I told Bill, I said, then he was busting my balls about wearing high heels and how do I shift with forward controls.
I bet that gave him a good laugh.
Oh, yeah. He was on a roll, huh? So I got to call him and set up a time for this show.
Right. That'll be awesome.
So, yeah, she's going to ring in here in a few.
Okay.
And we'll see how it goes from there.
Right.
Yeah. Hey, Green.
So how
I got caught in the rain. Yeah.
Did you get what?
Yep.
Well, no, I mean, I didn't know if you may have in your bag or something. You know, to put on, you know,
yeah,
for that event. It's okay. You should see, you're lucky being there because what I see here in the wintertime, you would sit there, hell no, I would not do that. But these guys do. Right in the middle of a snowstorm.
Mm-hmm.
Watch them barreling down. It's like, okay, cool.
So, all right, so what, you watched the whole episode?
Yeah, I watched the whole thing.
Okay, so give me your take on it.
Now, it went in so many different directions. I did not expect to see the Irish come at the club, you know, at Suns. Because throughout all the seasons of watching, you know, they've had their little tit for tats, you know what I mean, back and forth. But I did not expect them to blow up the clubhouse and so. Oh my God, it was just crazy. You know, this isn't a regular season what we were used to watching five seasons prior. Okay, where you could end up watching one episode and you knew exactly what was going to be coming into play on the following week. You know, with this new season, it leaves you hanging in that moment of how it would actually start into the program, to where by the end it's like, wow. That's what it leaves you in, is wow. Because you don't expect what's taking place. Now, what those cats did, you know, and in the jail cell there, that was crazy ass. I never thought I would see something like that on the show. But that's what I'm talking about. It's certain things that you're not expecting to come into play, but it just grabs you more, you know, because you're in that knowledge of not knowing what's coming up next, not like it was in the prior seasons. That's my take on it, you know. But like I said, fantastic what they've done. Fantastic. You know, it's just a shame, you know, because it's such a great show. I have all five seasons, you know, and like I said, it just, you can't get enough of it. It was just something that when it first started, I thought, oh, this is cool. You know, and it grabbed you, and either you liked it or you didn't, you know. Like I said, you know, I was just amazed. I was just amazed. And just, it keeps you on the edge, you know, because you have to pay attention and see what's going on, because you don't know what's coming from one minute to the next. Mm-hmm. I think this is where Kurt Sutter is actually coming into a season that is just, oh, I can't even think of the right wording for it, to where he made sure he's going to leave people in their seats. You know what I mean? To pay attention, because if you don't pay attention, you're going to miss something. You have to go back and rewatch the whole entire thing in order for it to make sense and to coincide with one scene to the next, you know. He was just phenomenal. So far, what I've seen in this season is just unbelievable.
Wow. Yeah, everybody, I watched it, it's just a twist and turns. Part I like best is when he asked him, do you trust me? Do you trust us?
Yeah. But you know what? That's going to come into play. And that's in everyday life. It's not just in the show itself. That's in everyday life. So it's life fictional. That's just so intertwined in the show. It makes sense, you know, but like I said, this season is just grabbing you from all different directions, but I like it. I do. But that guy that, you know, was killed because his sister was killed in last season, that Fed or whoever he is, you know, the marshal, that guy was just whacked. he just wasn't wired right at all. But he played a good part of being the nut job that he was, you know.
Mm-hmm. I can't wait to see what happens. Okay, Janine. What is he getting his beauty rest? Janine just said that she, one of my friends Henry, his wife Janine says that Henry didn't watch last night, so I can't let him hear you guys talking. She's laughing.
Okay.
Yeah, so okay. I said was he getting his beauty rest?
Sorry. Like I said, I actually, when I watched the episode early this morning, it was like after breakfast, I rewatched it, because I normally have to pause it so I can let the dogs out, get them back in the house and that, but when I did all that, for a second time, I was able to sit and watch the whole entire thing, because you don't want to miss something because things throughout each section, segment of the show, like I said before, if you're not paying attention, it just passes and you're like, whoa, why did this happen? Rewind, you know.
Yeah. And, pretty wild.
Oh yeah.
It's like trying to figure out which way the sheriff's gonna go. And the way Dayton Callie's character's gonna go, where do I need to know anything, or do you want my help? If you want my help, you're gonna have to tell me what's going on. You know, when she opened the door and stashed the wig and everything else in the drawer, I was wondering where were they going with that one?
Yeah. Like I said, that's what you can't try and figure out because, you know, like I said, Kurt Sutter this season is just completely in a whole different mindset with this season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'm waiting for Corinne to call. She's on set right now, but she said she will be calling.
Right. Awesome.
So, yeah. She's let me get this. An interview with her and she played a character called Brown Sugar.
Okay.
And, she's on XM Radio, and she's a comedian too.
I saw that.
Mm-hmm. So we'll see where she comes from.
Fire. Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, what was your favorite part? Or segment?
I really don't have a favorite part. I like the whole thing.
Right.
No. I mean, I like the whole thing. I can't pick out one thing. It would be too hard because everything rocks and rolls.
Yeah, you know, and that's the whole gist of this season. You know, I mean, I don't care if you watch the first episode, the second, the third. I don't actually think anyone can per se claim there is a good segment of that show on each Tuesday night, because the way everything comes in, it's hard to say, well, yeah, this was my favorite part, because it just, the way everything's going in this season, I don't think anyone can just say they have a favorite part. It's very hard to nail a specific, you know, part of the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And,
excuse me.
It's sometimes crazy. You think you know, like, where's Bobby coming into this? What's going to happen when he gets there? You know what I mean?
Right.
As well as the rest of them. You know, like when the chick blew by the prospect because he was talking to the girl.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody wasn't paying attention.
Well, like I said, you know, I've never been locked down or anything like that, so I don't know if they actually have conjugal visits or anything like that. You know, I have no clue.
Yeah, that was,
but,
that was pretty.
I mean, that was. It's almost like put part of a porno in with the show, you know what I mean? Not in in a crazy way. It was just so off guard. I'm like, damn, you have to pay $500 for a conjugal visit, and the two guys spent it there their much. Unbelievable.
I mean, I've heard stories, and you know, they just sometimes they invent shit, but you can't invent that shit. So, that really happened somewhere down the line to somebody. And they shared it.
You know, I'm sure, you know, but like I said, I don't know, because I've never been in that position to say. But if it
we does, all know somebody. We all know somebody that's been locked up at one time or another.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's not that I don't. I've just never asked. Because, you know, that's just like somebody that, somebody being locked down, somebody being in the military, somebody going through or have gone through a certain thing. There's just some things you don't ask.
Yeah.
If someone,
you know,
volunteers
the
information, cool. If not, I'm not going there.
I got a text. Well, actually, I got a partial email, and then I got the rest of it. But someone asked me if you were from Minnesota.
Me? No.
Yeah. Because you started out your conversations with, yeah, you know.
Well, I've always been like that, but no, I've never been in the, I mean, I've been there, but no, I'm not born and raised.
Yeah.
My grandma was, and my great-grandma.
Yeah.
But no, I'm here. Maybe that's where I get it from, because, you know,
there you go.
Around it or something.
Yeah.
Could
yeah,
be.
No,
you know, but then people make fun of me because, like, you guys say wife beaters, I say Dago cheese, and they're like, no one says Dago cheese, you know, but
I say Dago.
The Italians started that here.
I say Dago tea.
Yeah, but you're from here, so, you know, and the Italians were the ones that, you know, originated that. That's why they call them the Dago teeth. But it's, I guess, the way we say Dago, you know, I know right where you're from. You know, it's like, okay, whatever.
Yeah, so we're just waiting for her to call, and a few other people are coming, so.
Cool.
Yeah.
And we expect a great show.
Yeah, it might be the rain, because it's raining today. Actually, I thought I made it halfway home before it started raining. Then I got people.
Yeah,
just,
no rain here. Sorry.
Yeah. I got people turning in front of me or coming in on my side because their windows are wet and They don't know how to turn on the wipers.
Well, you know, a lot of times when it rains here, people forget. It's just like the first snowfall. People forget how to drive in it.
Absolutely.
Takes them
about
half
a,
the season.
There was a white ash mixed in with the rain, which just happened to be from the fire on Camp Pendleton. Burned almost 3,000 acres.
I was going to say, is there some form of a fire? You know, because that's the only, either that or like a volcanic activity is going to put that ash in with the rain.
No, it was a fire. It was pretty wild. They came within 100 feet of some homes.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
But don't you guys get that, like, every year or something? There's always some form of a fire someplace?
Well, there's fires all the time here.
Yeah. Ugh.
But,
it's got to be hard because then you're smelling that smoke, I bet.
No, it's actually as windy as it was. No. Like coming back when I came back from Cajon Pass, the winds were like 70 miles an hour. They're literally riding sideways, bent all,
wow.
You know, meaning almost low enough to scrape my pegs.
Yeah, I can't go out in winds that high. I get knocked over.
Bob was on his bagger and he scraped his footrest.
Really? Oh.
Yeah. It's just how strong it was. That's like when it snows over there, that park gets closed. You gotta have chains. They won't even let you roll on your window if you have chains in your car.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And then I get emailed from this one person over the weekend about 10 times. And then I got emailed today. I guess someone thought I was working for them. I'm not going to be pushed into a corner with how I do things.
Right.
And every time I talk to this person, they hang up the phone and they call Bill.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, I mean, Bill already told him, follow his lead. Just put it up the way he asks. If you can't do that, then, you know. So Bill, I said, hey, I don't want this to cause any hardships with anybody, but I don't work for people.
Right.
That's why we don't have any sponsors. We can, you know, you heard Herman say it last night.
Right.
Which, by the way, he should be back here pretty soon. He should be back on the air here pretty soon.
So,
I'm just,
how's everything? Everything's
good.
Going okay. But.
Yeah, I'm just curious to see how Eunice gets all those shoes packed into the car.
You know, that is such a wonderful thing. You know, I really want to get involved in that next year. I hope things can pan out that way. I have plenty of room to do it, you know.
Yeah. Nah, well, this is going to be something good for everybody.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oops.
You know, I don't want to call. People, I already got two texts saying, well, why don't you call her? Because she's in the middle of something. And it's a last-minute thing, and I don't think anybody should give up their chance to make money in today's economy.
Exactly.
So,
well, you heard Lane Carl was on. You know, it's funny how people think that, you know, if they're doing movies or whatever, you know, it's everybody thinks they're rich. They're not rich. You know, you have to get really big in order to have a lot of money, you know. And these guys, you know, these men and women, they're just trying to survive by what they love to do.
Yeah. I don't condone anybody for making a dollar.
No.
The way things are, especially with the way these assholes are trying to put everybody on, you either do it my way or it's the highway.
Right. No, it doesn't work that way.
No, and I'm real curious to see how the next election takes place.
I don't know. Every year it gets worse and worse. It's not just one particular person. It starts prior and prior and prior and keeps going. You know, it's a clusterfuck of, you know, poor judgment.
Yeah.
It just gets worse as it keeps going.
True. But just to... The girl that on the Sons of Anarchy, her name was Corinne Rize? How do you say that?
Okay, wait a minute.
Arizare? I think it's Arizare. Anyway, she's also known as a no holds barred character on the very popular Open Anthony show on XM. And, I didn't know she had lost both her parents before finishing high school.
That's gotta be hard.
Yeah, because lost my dad while my brother was in high school.
Well, it's hard, you know, to lose parents. I don't think it's an age, you know, factor. It's just it's difficult no matter young, old.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I thought maybe we'd see Stacy tonight, but I noticed she had something to do.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I'm gonna...
That's fine.
I'm just gonna have to wait and see where Corinne's at.
It's okay.
Yeah. So we're going back to the show. So, what do you think? I think like the sheriff in Charming, I think he realizes that other guy, the one that got his throat cut, was the one who killed
the
that
Marshall.
Girl.
Yeah.
Yeah. Knew right where to put. Well, he knew right where to put everything, and I don't think the character Jimmy Smith plays was that dumb to not, you know what I mean? If he killed somebody,
right.
he wouldn't use his own truck.
No, and that's the bottom line when you come into a series of this caliber of the show. Now, Jimmy Smith is a good actor. I like him in a lot of things that he's been in. And I think while they were being followed, you know, to the house and watched, and when that other car came into play, you know, what are you doing here? You know, or who are you watching, whatever. I think it just goes to show that, you know, because with the older gentleman that was on previous seasons as, you know, the one in charge, everybody, oh, well, you just let these guys go and do whatever they want. It wasn't a question of that. I was trying to keep the peace and keeping things away. You know what I mean? And with this new one coming into play, he's sitting there looking, okay, there's a crazy-ass marshal running around planting evidence all over God's creation. you know, and then you have, I think she's, what, the DA or something like that. She's got that hard on to nail them all. And that Marshall, before his throat was slashed, you know, he was going to steal and deliver the club, you know, one by one. And
right.
he's still doing it from the grave. And, you know, because the way he planted evidence, because we all knew in the last show he was with that woman before he killed her.
Uh-huh.
So it's just a matter of time before the new guy in Charming puts two and two together, and I think he's slowly doing it.
Right.
Because it takes a specific type of character to be in that frame, to kill someone in cold blood and hurry up and go grab evidence and plan it and everything else, you know. And like I said, it's I agree with you. I think he's wising up to it. Because Jimmy Smits would not walk into that man's office and say, you know, why are you following me?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't murder anyone. Unless you got something to charge me, basically shit or get off the pot, you know.
Yeah, it's like when he told him that, shit or get off the pot. But, no, I think he's trying to figure out what's going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the same thing with the call to the Irish. If you remember Chucky...
That was crazy.
Yeah, if you remember, Nubs told Gemma that there was no soda and they were running out of beer.
Right. We'd had a delivery. And then, get out of here, you know. And that's what caught me off guard. So I was just like, where'd it come from? You know what I mean? And I was just in awe of, I thought it was either a body or a bomb. You know, that's what was cool about that segment, because you could look at it either way. It was a body or it was a bomb.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, since we knew that Marshall had a, you know, to where he was going to deliver that club so many at a time, one at a time, whatever it took. Now we just have to, well, we can't speculate on next one. I'm not going to do that. We'll wait till next week.
Yeah. Yeah, I hit 100,000 people today. Well, actually close, it's 93,322.
Oh, that is awesome.
5,000 shows. And,
you know what I'm trying to figure out, and maybe you could help me on this, because I don't recall why that man's hands are not covered anymore. Is he fixed?
His hands aren't covered
anymore.
What do you mean?
Yeah.
He's wearing the finger gloves.
Oh, I didn't even pay attention to that, because the season before, when the character came into play, when he was gotten out of jail, he had to have his hands covered because of what he was doing. And I just realized, watching, where are those bandages? But I recall... You know, I just didn't pay that much attention. I just realized that there is no gauze anymore, or wraps, whatever.
Yeah, that's when he was cooking the head in the chili.
That's what it was.
Mm-hmm. about a month and a half ago, he was over here doing a chili cook-off at one of the dealers.
Did anybody eat it?
Oh no, people brought, you know, people made their own and brought it, and then they voted on the best one.
Oh, cool.
I forget what the prizes were, but he was one of the celebrity judges.
Oh, that's
he's a
awesome.
Little guy. Yeah, he's a little guy. He's probably, when he stands, he's probably my chin.
And I'm a
little guy.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So he's got to be shorter than, like, 5'10".
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he's shorter than that. Yeah, I'd say he's about 5'4", 5'5".
Oh, my God, he's taller than me.
Everybody's taller than you.
I know.
Next week, Jonathan's going to be taller than you.
No doubt. No doubt. I don't think he's going to be a midget.
No. So, yeah, she's just, I know she was shooting a scene. I'm not sure which one. But I'm not sure if she's on here on the coast or the East Coast.
She's on the East Coast time?
No, I don't know if she's on the West Coast or the East Coast. But what I'll do is let me play one of her videos while we're waiting.
Okay.
This is, she's at the Comedy Store in L.A. on Sunset Boulevard.
Okay.
Real Sex? Anybody heard of Real Sex on HBO?
Yeah.
fucking people ever talking about sex. I'm expecting to see hot people, something that can kind of help me masturbate when I'm alone. And it's the baddest and ugliest people I've ever seen on television. They have this one episode where they're talking about how vaginas are beautiful and they're like a flower and like butterflies. Have any of these people looked at a pussy after it's been fucked? It looks like two slugs fighting over a pink Skittle on a
funny parts in there. I had to refrain.
Yeah. Pretty good.
Yeah, but she is right in regards to, you know, that's how real sex.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, you want to elaborate on that?
No, I just meant in regards to how people look, you know, but I mean, that they're just showing normal people, you know, not model type people. You know what I mean?
No, you're telling me. I'm listening.
Hey, that's all good. But I do remember that episode she was talking about. It was funny. I laughed.
Mm-hmm.
That's my story. I'm sticking to it.
Yeah. No, I don't know. I don't know what. I don't know. I didn't even. You know, I didn't even get a chance to ask her what she was filming.
Right.
No, it's like. I could barely hear her because she was on a set, so I know they were outside filming.
Right.
So I was kind of crazy. But she said, yeah, she texted me and let me know what was going on. I haven't received one, so maybe that means she's filming her scene.
Right.
But,
you know, they get busy.
Yeah. We can give it another 10 or 15 minutes. If I don't hear from her by then, I'm going to call it.
Right. Is there any chance of possibly, you know, getting like Eddie Cardenas? Because I know he was busy when you were going to have him on the show before.
Yeah, no, his club told him no also.
Wow. But it's just talking about the show.
It's politics.
Yeah. It's understandable.
But
it's okay, because who you've had on the show so far, they've just been fantastic, you know.
Yeah, so I'm just going to see how it rolls here. What do you think next week's going to be?
Well, of course, they're going to be still shaken up from the clubhouse being blown up. Now they're going to have to figure out how to keep themselves safe, because I feel that the Irish are going to come with a vengeance. And they really have to figure out where they're going to have to go and how far they have to go to end it.
Mm-hmm.
And Tara, I think she's getting more scared to where she... I don't know. It's like a part of me feels that she wants to bolt with the boys, you know, so she doesn't face jail time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's something going on, because the way Gemma is and everything else, you know, and then the ex-wife, you know,
well,
I think
the ex-wife is setting up Gemma.
You think so?
Oh, yeah.
Well, at first I thought she was working with Gemma to go against Tara. But after seeing how Tara and her were last night together, you know, one-on-one, that's when I thought, no, she's not faking this. She really wants to have time with Abel, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, and next week's show is going to be something.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really coming down windy now.
Is it?
Yeah.
It was nice here today, but even though I'm sick, you know, I still dress like, you know, had to be warm.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just checking some other stuff out, but if she gets a chance to
can you elaborate on how long the show here will go for? A little. I guess.
It depends.
Okay.
It depends, because we've already talked to Dayton.
Right.
And, he's thinking about early September. I mean December.
Wow, that would be awesome. You know.
Yeah. Right after the show goes off the air, so I mean,
right.
Goes right after they finish the last show, so. Figure it out from there, but I don't know what to you can't call and I don't want to call and then the phone's ringing during the, you know what I mean, while they're filming.
Right.
Because some people forget to turn them off.
It's understandable. You know, there's a lot of people that have kids and that, and God forbid, you don't want somebody to be on a set and think, holy crap, something's taking place at home or,
you know,
or something else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, I'm just waiting to see. I didn't get a chance to watch the after thing with Sutter, and he had Tommy who plays Jibs, and I think he had Kim Coates with him too.
Right.
I haven't got a chance to
watch
that.
I didn't know that you could watch that. Do you watch that on the internet or after the show?
No,
it's FX.
It should be on. I think you got to go to the internet if I remember right.
Okay.
Because
I was going to say, I haven't seen it, you know, come in like after, because they show it twice, you know, and I didn't know if this was just strictly internet.
No, if you go to Sutter's, what the fuck, Sutter, you can watch it there.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what do you think on next week? What do you kind of feel?
From the show?
I said, what do you, yeah.
Just waiting to see what goes on. Let me see who this is right here.
Okay.
Hello, 315.
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, I was actually just talking to Corinne. She said she's just wrapping up now and she'll be calling in shortly.
Oh, perfect. Thank you. I appreciate that.
You know, she didn't have a way to get in touch. She just thought I'd let you know, yeah.
All right. Thank you. I appreciate that.
No problem.
You going to hang out or you going to take off? Okay, well, I guess that answered that question. He hung up. But she'll be here shortly. Got your questions ready for her?
Yep.
Okay.
I'm always ahead of schedule.
You are. Good. No blonde moments today, huh?
No, actually, I've had a couple. But, you know, I iron them out pretty quick and, you know, then I go back to being brunette.
So, yeah, I'm just, we'll see what happens when she calls in and we'll go from there. And, you moving around again?
No, I'm sitting down.
Okay.
And SpongeBob SquarePants is on. That was I had my grandson with me.
Yeah, what about... the way the plot's twisting a little bit.
What do you mean?
I mean, I'm curious to see how they bring in the other guys.
Yeah. I'm looking at the same thing.
Okay. She's on the phone right now. Let me bring her in. Hello, Corinne.
Hello. Hi.
How was how'd it go? Are you done now or?
Yeah, no, I'm all wrapped. I'm in the car right now driving.
Oh, cool. I hope you're using a hands-free ticket.
Hey, yes, sir. I'm wearing a headset.
Oh, okay, cool. Well, I have Noor on the line. She's be waiting for you to come because she has.
Okay.
Go ahead, Nora.
Hi. I wanted to find out.
Wait, well, tell her who you are from.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm Nora. I'm from Chicago. And I was curious to find out, did you start comedy or acting as you were growing up to bring you to where you're at today?
Well, let's put it this way. I've always been the little ham in the family. Like, literally, since I was a kid, I was a little bit of an asshole, put it that way. I was always trying to get my brother and sister in trouble and, you know, blame it on them and do things. And, you know, even when I was at fault for things, you know, people would laugh and let me off the hook. I started acting when I was 9. I started going to the after-school programs because I didn't want to go home. And that's kind of where it started, was when I was 9. And how I got into the comedy was kind of by accident. In college, I was doing a one-woman show, and the professor said I should break up the pieces and turn it into stand-up. And I didn't think I had the guts for it, but sure enough, obviously I did, and it grew from there. But acting's always been my first love and what I've wanted to do, and I've done musical theater since I was 9, so, you know, it's always been in me since I was little, That's kind of how it evolved.
Right. Now, did it take you long? What brought you in the direction to come into Sons?
Well, that all started by accident. Another accident. A nice accident. When I first moved to L.A., most people that are actors or trying to get into the acting industry, they do background work or, you know, extra work. And that's basically you're the person that walks around in the scenes behind the scenes. And I was actually on the very first, I was on the pilot episode of Sons of Anarchy. So I've actually literally been with Sons of Anarchy from the very, very beginning.
Okay.
It was the first episode that they shot with, you know, a lot of background people. And I happened to fit in really well with the crew. And one of the people who was in charge of, you know, getting people to come back, I became friends with that person who was, you know, bringing back the background again. And then eventually I became a crow eater, and then it kind of evolved from there. So they would have me come back every so often on different episodes to do background work, and I got featured in some things. You know, the way it works with acting is if you're union, you can get bumped up immediately. But there has to be something really special about you if you're not union to be bumped up into something. And, oh, sorry, guys. I was selected because of my exterior to be Brown Sugar because I had the big Puerto Rican ass, basically, is what it comes down to. So
okay.
they kind of picked the ass that they wanted in the scene, and that's kind of how I got picked to be Brown Sugar. It was a lot of fun, and I've met Ron Perlman, too, at Gold's Gym a few times, and things that evolved from that, too. If you'll remember, I have no idea, but that's kind of where it all started, making friends. It's all about networking in the industry.
Right.
Who you know, how well you behave yourself. If you're a well-behaved person on set, they're going to ask you to come back because they want you to be in more shows and stuff.
Now, did you enjoy the times that you were on the show, being in the background, or, you know, was it a good experience for you?
Oh, absolutely. It was like every time you're on set, it's like a little mini party with the cast and crew. Everybody on the set of Sons is a very affable, very down-to-earth. The entire crew and cast, the nicest people I've ever worked with in the industry. Quite literally every single cast member, it didn't matter how big of a star they were. They were very kind and very nice. I don't know if you remember. Do you remember Half Stack?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. During the scene where I was getting my ass smacked several times over and over again, he was actually the one that kept telling this guy that was smacking me. He's like, hey, he's like, you know, why don't you take it easy? He's like, you don't have to hit her so hard. So he was like coming to my defense a couple times. I was like, no, it's okay. I can handle it. I'm tough. I'm a New Yorker. But it hurt like hell. I had a handprint on my ass for about a week. So, it was pretty funny. but, you know, I handled it. And little known fact, in that scene, one of the times that we were doing it, when they were busting in the door got stuck. So I was literally stuck in a room with about 10 guys, half naked. And not that it was a problem for me, especially as a comic and just the person that I am, I thought it was hilarious. I'm like, yes, this is definitely a very appropriate place for me to be right now. And it was really funny to me. And, you know, I think the guys appreciated that I was a trooper. I was like, so who's next? You know, so I was messing around with them and, you know, trying to make it a less tense situation. And so when they busted in the door, I'm not sure if they used the actual scene, but they actually had to bust in the door. Like, they literally had to kick the door down. And the door frame fell down and literally came and hit my butt and left a scar on my butt. So I have a scar from that scene on my butt.
Wow.
Yeah, good time.
Now, from you being on Sons of Anarchy, has it opened up other doors for you to go into other acting adventures?
Oh, absolutely. See, the nice thing about Hollywood is it's a tight-knit circle. Everyone works on everything. So, you know, the people that work on one show, they work on another show to do something else. So, you know, people are interchangeable all the time. So it's all, like I said, it's all about the networking. And if people think that you're a respectful person, they're like, you know what, you should have this person come in and do the show, blah, blah, blah. And I met somebody on the show who helped me get an audition for a different show. So that show never got picked up, but it was still an opportunity that I wouldn't have had before. So,
right.
Yeah, it definitely opened up doors. And actually, I've made the joke several times on stage that my ass is more famous than I am, and, you know, I have to get my ass an agent and everything. So it's a lot of fun. I like it.
Good. Now, were there any times when you were on and off the sets, did you have any difficulty with portraying the character, or did it come easy for you?
Okay, well, I'm literally playing a Hispanic prostitute, and not to say that, you know, I'm a prostitute in any way, shape, or form,
right.
But, you know, being Hispanic pretty much comes natural to me, you know, and sexuality is something that derives from the Hispanic culture in a sense. I mean, if you think of erotic, the women I think that come to mind first are those from the island. When you think of exotic women, you think of women from the island, you know, whether
right.
they're Cuban,
right.
Puerto Rican, or Dominican, you think Spanish women with, you know, curvy bodies. So portraying sexuality or portraying a sexual being, that's not hard for me at all. I'm a very passionate person. So I think I exude a lot of passion in everything I do, whether I'm mad, angry. So, like, actually someone said something to me today, like, you're so angry. I'm like, I'm not angry, I'm just passionate. I'm like, I'm passionate about punching somebody in the throat right now. That's not angry.
That's understandable, though. You know, I mean, a lot of people don't understand if you are a passionate person. Some people will portray that as something other, you know.
Right.
Now, in regards with your comedy, do you still do that here and there, or is that kind of put on hold?
Oh, no. They both coincide with each other. The reason why I got into comedy is to be able to open up more opportunities for me in the acting world.
Right.
For someone like myself, I'm a girl. I mean, I could spend the rest of my life auditioning and trying to get parts, or I can get up on stage in front of people and people will come to me, and, you know, the producers or the people that are looking for different types of characters will come to where I am looking for them. You know, people have always said that comedians make the best actors. That's because we have to convey so many emotions within a short period of time when we're performing our stand-up. And, I mean, I wholeheartedly believe that. And the best comedy comes from the worst tragedy. And, I mean, I'm definitely one that can attest to that shit. I've been through more shit in my lifetime than most people have in, you know, 50, 60 years, so.
My friend Emilio that plays the president of the Mayans, he did comedy, too.
Yeah. That's cool. going back to what Nora had said before, you know, how about people not understanding passion and whatnot. It's funny you say that, but because it's partially part of the reason why I only date white guys. Okay. Well, Spanish and black men, I bump heads with them because I have a very dominant personality, and I won't be told what to do. I don't like being. I don't even like the people suggest for me to do things. If I'm going to be submissive, I will choose to be submissive. You know, I'll be submissive for someone who appreciates it and is not going to take advantage of that. And for me, if they understand my passion, you know, and they understand that I'm not angry or whatnot, and usually it's white guys that are very even-keeled or low-key or, you know, down-to-earth, those are the kind of guys that get me usually, so.
You know, I wholeheartedly understand that, you know. Like I said, and it takes a certain type of person to get the personality, understand it, and to accept it.
Right. And that's a nice thing about when I find someone that suits me. They get me, they understand me, they don't try to change me, and we sync very well together, you know. And, like, I have to be with somebody who's funny. I can't be with a dull person, you know. Dull people make my life miserable. So, you know, if I'm with somebody who's constantly making me laugh, you know, then I'm not a happy person, so.
Right. Now, how does your family play a role in what you do? Are they supportive, if you don't mind?
No, are you kidding me? My family is half my material. I make fun of every single buddy in my family. You know, my grandmother, you know, my grandfather, my mother, may she rest in peace. You know, she knows I'm making fun of her. I'm sure she doesn't care. She's like, at least I can, you know, get paid off by now, you know.
Right.
You know, even the guys that I've dated in the past, I'm pretty sure they know that they've become material at one point. Or, you know, or even the guy that I'm dating now, he's been a part of my material too. So.
That's awesome.
Yeah, they're pretty supportive. They'll all pay him off one way or the other.
So you were originally from New York.
What do you got going in the works now? Or are you coming back out to L.A. to do some more comedy?
I'm in L.A. right now.
Oh, okay. I thought you were on the East Coast.
No. I'm in Los Angeles right at the moment. That's where I was just leaving Universal Studios.
Oh, okay.
Now, actually, I was gonna tell Joe that I'd be willing to come into the studio. You know, well, obviously it didn't work out today, but you know, next time I'd be more than happy to come down to the studio.
Sure. It's actually house.
Oh, thanks. Thanks, Nora, by the way, for the questions. I appreciate that.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you. It's actually a pleasure. You know, I enjoy on Wednesday nights with the different cast members.
Thanks. Appreciate that.
Did you get a chance to watch the show?
Who, me lately?
Yeah.
No, I've fallen behind because I've gone to Alaska for 3 years out of the past four. So being in Alaska really takes me away from watching television because I'm quite literally wrapped up in everything else. But TV, we don't have TV when we're up in Alaska. We don't have cable. You know, I download stuff, but I still have so much to catch up on different shows. And honestly, after I've worked on a show, most of the times I stop watching it because when you're on a show and you see how it's done and how the work is done and, you know, you're there 12, 14 hours a day, it takes away from the magic that TV watching is, or, you know, it takes away from the experience a little bit because, you know, like, you're not thinking about what's going on in the show. You're thinking about, oh, I know where that is. Oh, I know where that room is, or, you know, I know where they shot that. Oh, my God, I was on set 13 hours when they shot this scene. So you're taken out of the, you know, the reality a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't usually watch, especially I don't watch anything I'm in. I can't watch myself at all. So, but I plan on catching up just because everyone's told me I need to, so.
Yeah, it's getting pretty wild, and then I have one of my friends came in at the end of it last year, and he's going to be on the rest of the season. He's a big guy. He plays Quinn. He's actually Rusty Coons. He has a Mr. California called Illusions.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, he stopped in last night because we got this little fundraiser thing going on where we're collecting 25,000 pairs of shoes. When we get to 25,000 shoes, we'll get $10,000, which will go to the Wounded Warrior Network, which will take care of some Marines on Camp Pendleton and some Navy guys down at Balboa Hospital in San Diego.
Right, right. That's awesome. That's very awesome.
Yeah.
I know there's a lot of people doing so many different things because of the show. So I think that's awesome that the show has that kind of effect on so many people on such a big level.
Yeah, so I've actually met Sutter and stuff at Rusty's shop, and Rusty ended up building a bike for the Wounded Project that they raffled off, and he built a monster bike for Kurt. And he built one. He's made a lot of bikes for guys on the show, but he knows his shit, and he also has a band called Attica 7. I don't know if you know who Evan signed from Biohazard.
I think I've seen it in the threads in some of the posts, right?
Right. He's, yeah.
That's pretty cool. I haven't checked out too much of it. I clicked on one of them and listened to a little bit. It sounded really cool.
Yeah, they did quite a few songs, and then Rusty's music's been featured on the show.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, things are working out pretty good for everybody, but... So are you just waiting around for the calls, or are you out pounding the pavement to get work?
I'm not pounding the pavement. I got back on the 26th of September, and I literally hit the ground running. It's just one of those things. I wouldn't say my time is running out, but I'm going to put that kind of pressure on myself because I am getting older. You know, Hollywood is very discriminatory when it comes to age in a certain degree, especially when you're starting out. You know, even though I have a lot of traction and I have, a cool fan base on one regard, it doesn't mean that it means shit in the Hollywood world. You know, so for me, it's all about exposure, exposure, exposure. You know, the more people know who I am, the more people are, you know, generating interest in what I do and whatnot, and it gets people like, oh, who's Corinne? And that's kind of what I'm trying to build is the buzz, you know, kind of like Betty White, how they started a Facebook campaign for Betty White to host Saturday Night Live, and sure enough, she ended up hosting Saturday Night Live. So
right.
It's one of those things, you literally have to build that for people to follow you, and that's what I want to do. I want to build so much momentum, like, who is this girl, and why isn't she on my television versus some of the other people that are on television that aren't talented? And I'm not to say that I'm any better than anybody else, but I know what I can bring to the table, and it's definitely a lot better than a lot of the crap that I've seen on television, especially the Kardashians. Oh, good Lord. It wouldn't matter what I did on television. It would be better than the Kardashians.
Uh-huh.
I've never seen it, so I take your word for it.
You ain't missing much. I watched one episode. That was enough. I got another caller from 316. On here.
Okay.
Hello, 3-1. Did you have any questions for Corinne, or did you want to listen?
I had a question. Actually, it kind of relates a little bit to what you guys were talking about. My name's Kevin, by the way.
Hello, Kevin.
Corinne.
Hi, Kevin.
I was wondering, all right, so I had one question, which was if you could, I've never watched Sons of Anarchy, but if you could get somebody to watch it, what would it be? But even better with what you guys were just talking about, if you could get Kim Kardashian to start watching Sons of Anarchy, what would you tell her about the show that might interest her?
That's a good question. I would tell her that there's characters on the show that look like Kanye West. That's what I would tell her. I would tell her, look, if you're looking for a replacement for when Kanye's done with you, maybe you might want to watch Sons of Anarchy. There might be a guy who can handle you.
Oh.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, you know, she's all levels of crazy. I mean, she takes crazy to a whole new level.
That she does.
What's the most fun thing about being on the, like, on a set of any show, but, like, more specifically Sons of Anarchy? What was, like, the most fun thing for you?
I would say one of the episodes where they were having, like, a fair. They had, like, a little fair. It was early in the season. I want to say maybe season one or two. They had a big fair. Oh, and the boxing fight. The boxing scene, then I think it was the first episode. That was a lot of fun. But when they do the big party scenes and they have all the bikers from all over California, they've had bikers from Arizona come in. It's like a big-ass party, you know, and people are just being silly and stupid and, you know, they're racing bikes on the street. And it's a lot of fun just to be able to interact with the cast as normal people. Like, that's the nice thing about being on the set of Sons of Anarchy is that everyone gets treated exactly the same. No one's treated like they're better than anybody else.
So they're all down to earth.
What's that?
They're down to earth?
Yeah, very, very down to earth. Very down to earth.
You know, I pretty much know most of those guys at Broke Bread and hung out and everything else with them. And they're just down to earth guys. They just happen to be on one of the most popular TV shows there is.
Yeah.
What a shame, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. My partner Bill and I, we have the. Bill always says we have the perfect faces for radio.
Aw, Phil. Are you telling me you're a character actor?
No. I'm a character, but not an actor.
Okay.
You were never on the show, Bill?
No, I have a lot of my friends that have been on the show. I just, I work in San Diego on a Navy base during the day, so, being an ex-Marine and, the way things are in the world today, I know when I finish my job on that ship and those guys leave, I know they're going to come back.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So,
I've been.
Corinne, do you have anything coming up?
Well, I'm.
You like live shows or anything like that?
Well, yeah. I mean, I perform whenever I can. There's different places that I can go to and do different shows. Like I've got shows I can do in Phoenix and stuff. It's just a matter of me going out there and doing them or setting it up. I haven't really set up a lot of shows since I've been back because I've been concentrating more on the acting, more so than the comedy. I mean, I'm just trying to kind of set the groundwork for what I want to do so that way I can, now I'm union as well. So when I'm being union allows a lot more opportunity and it opens up a lot more doors because that way I don't have to be approved. You know, I get paid for auditioning. So, you know, I can be given a part without having it being discussed and things like that, except for the casting director. So that's one of the big differences.
Being a member of a union implies that you've paid your dues, and I think that helps, maybe.
Yes, it's true. I have paid my dues tenfold.
My question would be, hey, when you're doing your auditions, which way are you trying to go, to a long-term thing or a short-term thing, or you just want to just explode?
Are you kidding me? I want the Oscar. That's what I want.
Okay. Perfect.
That's my ambitious goal in life. I will win an Oscar one day.
And there's no doubt in my mind after talking to you right now that probably what you're going to do.
Yeah, that's what I'm set out to do.
That'd be cool, and then I could say that I talked to her before she was an Oscar winner on the phone on the Bikers of America blog talk.
Yeah, I could see where I'd be telling, yeah, I remember when she called me a character.
Only in the most loving way.
Oh, no, I know that.
Okay. Good.
I know that. We played, while we were waiting for you, I played one of your shows from, I guess it was in L.A.
Oh, that was
probably around, I think it was around 2000, so where you, yeah, when you talked about you only like to date white guys and the few other things that you talked.
That's why I called in.
Wow, oh. I'm sorry, Kevin, I'm taken. I'm pretty sure Bruce would be very upset.
Oh.
Yeah.
Summer.
Yeah.
In fact, I still have that queued up. Oh, let me play it.
Yeah.
It's loading up right now. The only thing, like my partner Bill, he decided that the computer's the devil. So basically, I handle all the traffic. He's got some family issues with some illnesses, so he'll be back in a couple of weeks. Yeah. But here's your
Hey, Celine.
Oh, my.
So what I am. I'm so Puerto Rican. Ridiculous. How pissed off would you be if I talked like that the entire time? Would you really mad, right? Wouldn't you? I see these women already like staring at me like this evil, dead hate look, right? Is it because I'm pretty, or is it because? You know what I'm saying? What's that? Once you really get to know what's underneath all this, you're gonna be all right. Trust me. I was a late bloomer in life, right? So you have to understand this: Hispanic women were very hairy. I mean, worse than Aldo. You saw how hairy Aldo was? That was my mother, okay? Fucking Yeji. Hair coming out underneath your knees. It wasn't shaving. It was a whole different grooming story. But I was late bloomer, so I didn't know about the whole shaving of that area until I was about, like, 19 years old. And, like, this white guy was like, you should shave that. It looks a lot better. All right, so why don't you do it for me then? Alright. So I'm thinking it's gonna be something romantic, you know, bathtub, pink razor, bone, and, you know, roses and flowers and all kinds of shit. He walks in with 20 Mexicans from Home Depot.
That's always a killer.
Fuck this man, we want to buy some
I'm sorry?
I said that's always the killer.
Yeah, I watched it twice before I played it.
Landscaping sucks. Do you know how that hard it is? Take that from Mexicans? Which leads me to white guys. I think for white guys, I really do. But, yeah, well, I don't know if you're going to be excited about this, but you guys have no game. Which is what I'm really attracted to. Bondage, you know? It's not rape if I push back.
Hello?
Go ahead.
Yeah, you, I was going to say, you don't have to keep playing the whole thing. That's okay. I was going to say, though, it's really true, though. If there's ever been a time where a white guy has really been able to, you know, kind of beat out the other white guys is when they said, well, I've never been with a Puerto Rican. I'm just that much more intrigued. So, you know, except for this time, I didn't go to the KKK meetings to find my white boy. Mm-mm. I went to Alaska.
There you go.
So, there's a lot of white boys in Alaska.
So when, you went to Alaska they would say a sabbatical, just to go hide out, relax, chill?
Did you work on the oil line?
No, I did not work on the oil line. I was able to work on some projects that I've been working on for a while. I was really able to tap into my writing and really hone out some things that I've been working on. And, you know, the side gig in Alaska is sales. So I was up there making money and saving money so that way when I came back this time, I would have enough money to go and do the things that I need to do so I can go audition and not have to worry about. See, the problem with being in L.A., it's a catch-22. The only way you can audition and spend, you know, 3 or 4 days out of the week auditioning is if you have enough money to pay your bills while you're doing those things. Until you find something, you know, until you book a gig. So it's really hard in between booking gigs not to have any. So what happens to a lot of actors is that they end up taking a 9-to-5 and they're like, oh, you know, if I have an audition, I'll take time off, you know, and it never ends up working that way. You always basically shoot yourself in the foot. You end up working a lot more than you do auditioning or the things that you planned on doing.
Right. My friend, Paul Renteria, he does that. He works for the railroad, and he's got a pretty flexible schedule. But he's in North Dakota right now. They're redoing all the lines, the railroad lines. Comes in every once in a while. We're all involved with this, and a few other actors that were involved in Sons of Charity.
Hmm. I have a friend that works up in Alaska.
Yeah.
Yeah, he does like something similar to that. He sells like jewelry to the cruise ship passengers that come up, I guess he's telling me.
Yep, that's exactly what the gig is. And they spend a lot of money on jewelry.
Is it on jewelry? Is it the native jewelry or is it?
Well, there's both. There is a lot of the native stuff, but a lot of the stuff that people end up buying is all of the high-end, like, diamonds and things that they can't get back here for the same pricing. So that's the big draw, is that you can buy jewelry there for a quarter of the price of what you would pay for here.
Do you find that kind of work on the side helps with, like, anything to do within the industry itself? Like, I know some people take side jobs and sometimes will maybe give them skills to, like, you know, further their careers in the industry.
I would say yes. I mean, I would say I've definitely learned a lot of tricks of the sales trade that I didn't know before getting involved in the jewelry industry, and maybe that's why I've gone back so many times. Each time that I've gone back, I've learned something else about, because the thing is, with comedy, with acting, with sales, it's not about selling the product, you're selling yourself. You're not convincing the person to buy something. You're convincing them to buy from you versus somebody else. They're out buying stuff. You just have to sell them versus somebody else. And what does it take to sell somebody something? It takes charisma. It takes passion. It takes, you have to make yourself believable. You have to sell yourself. You have to be into what you're talking about in order to get someone to believe what you're saying. So, you're honing, being in Alaska, you're honing your acting skills at the same time as you're honing your sales skills.
Yeah, being from the west side of Chicago, I've been accused a couple of being a blind pencils to a blind man.
Huh. That's pretty funny.
Yeah, and
I sold iced Eskimos.
I'm sorry?
I said I sold ice to Eskimos.
There you go. There you go.
That's a regional joke for Alaska, I guess.
Yes. Good catch, Kevin. Good catch.
It's someone from Florida. But are you just got interviews and auditions lined up while you're back time, or are you going on cold calls?
Well, with auditions, you have to find them first, and you have to get them to be interested in you. So it's submitting myself for different things and trying to get people interested in me coming in to do an audition. So now, you know, doing the union stuff is a little different than doing the non-union stuff, because non-union auditions, there's like 1,001 people for them. But for non-union, there's a lot of people. For union, it's scheduled appointments. People are, you know, you're scheduled to come in at a certain time to sit for the reading or to be looked at.
Uh-huh.
So that's the big difference.
So, and also when you get there, it's probably 15 people deep, or?
No, I mean, like, usually when I've gone in, maybe there's 3 or 4 other girls. They try to keep it, when it's union, they try to keep the numbers down a lot because they're looking for something very specific. And if either you have what they're looking for or you don't. And they'll really tell you right away. I mean, you have to have a very thick skin to be in this industry. You have to be able to take rejection like nothing, like, you know, like a drink of water. If you
right.
can't handle someone
right.
telling you that you're not what they're looking for, then you're not going to last very long in this industry.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think that's what happens to a lot of girls. You know, they might have been the prettiest girl in school in Kansas, but when they go to L.A., they're a dime a dozen.
Right. Is Denise Richards is from Oceanside, California, where I'm at.
Yeah, I think Denise Richards looks a little mannish.
Yeah.
I mean, she's pretty, but she's, you know, she's got a little, like, I guess, you know, tranny qualities like my face.
She's a beautiful man.
Exactly.
Yeah. I'm just, So when, like, okay, let me ask you this. So now you go to an audition and there's 5 or 6 girls sitting in a room. So what's going through your head? Are you sizing them up? Right? Because I know that women always all size each other up. Do you mention a comment to someone sitting next to you, or somebody say something when somebody leaves, or what?
No, I completely take them off the game. I make them laugh. I make them crack up. I make them completely forget that they're sitting there for an audition. So when it's their time to go, they completely forgot what the hell they're doing. So, you know, I gotta get bitches off the game. I gotta sell them that they don't want the part.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah.
I mean,
how's that working out? How many blew it?
It's worked out a couple times in my favor, but like a lot of the times, the things that it's worked out on are things that never panned out for me at all, because, you know, there was this one really big opportunity that I had. It was in 2007. I went to 3 different auditions. They picked me out of like 10,000 girls, and I was going to be the host of a television show where we had different guests and different celebrity guests and stuff like that. And it was supposed to be on Spike TV or one of the other like cable networks. And it was around the same exact time that the writers' union happened. The writers' strike. So because of the writers' strike, everything got shut down. All productions got shut down. Anything that was brand new or coming up got shut down. So there's all kinds of crap that, like, ruined a lot of different things around that time. So it was heartbreaking, but it's one of those things like, oh, well, another one bites the dust, so you gotta do what you gotta do.
Yeah,
how
we've got.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Bill and I, about a month and a half ago, someone came down from Fox TV show, for the work we do with the vets. So it's now the guy left, a couple of phone calls, and then to get a hold of Bill, I think, tomorrow or Friday for a sit-down again.
Oh, very nice. That's awesome. I hope that pans out for you guys.
Yeah, and then the other thing I was telling you about earlier was the shoes. We're collecting the shoes, and I'll send you the info. You might want to Illusion Cycles in Westminster and hang out with, because there's going to be a lot of people from the show there.
Oh, nice. Okay.
And it'll be on Sunday the 27th.
Okay, send me the information.
I will. And then, so like tomorrow, what's like your schedule? Tomorrow you get up and you do what? That's end or yeah, if you got to get ready for a character you're going to go try for, what do you got going on?
Well, tomorrow I will scour the what we call the back page. Or the breakdowns. It's called the breakdowns, and that's where all the auditions are posted for SAG and union people or AFTRA people. So I'll scour the breakdowns to see if there's anything I fit. If I fit anything, I'll submit myself for it. I'll submit a couple pictures. I might submit a small paragraph, like depending on what the character is. Like if it's a bitchy character, I'm like, nobody can play a bitch better than a Puerto Rican Jew. We got lots to bitch about. You know, something that's going to catch their attention. You know, something that's going to catch their attention.
Well, let me ask you this. What's the ultimate role you're looking for?
What's going to win me an Oscar, I would definitely say, is going to be the badass villain. That's what's going to win me an Oscar. I need to play the baddest fucking female villain ever. That's how I
kind of like a Betty Davis.
Kind of like a Betty Davis, but maybe a little bit more. I'm the seductress. I'm the one that seduces people into doing what I want them to do, men or women. As far as character goes, those are, you know, that's the character that I play best, and it's not because of anything except for the way that I talk or the way I present myself or, you know, the color of my eyes. You know, I have very bright eyes that stand out because of, you know, my color, the complexion of my skin and stuff. There aren't many Puerto Rican women with green eyes, so.
I saw that. I was going to ask you about the green eyes.
I got them from my father.
Mm-hmm.
He's the only person on my father's side of the family with green eyes.
Mm.
So, and I guess it's a recessive gene.
Mhm. So, as a kid growing up, you started doing this at 9. What did your friends think about that?
Huh. I moved around so much that it was hard to make friends and keep friends. I literally have friends all over the world because of how much I moved up. I moved around growing up. My best friend is. My very best friend from when I was a child is, her name is Becky, and she's in Canada now. And I grew up with her in Lockport, New York, and that was probably some of the happiest childhood memories I had was, you know, being best friends with her. And she was right along there with me. If I wanted to do drama club, Becky was going to do the drama club with me. If I wanted to do musical, Becky was going to do the musical with me. So we were, you know, thick as thieves. We would go see all the... Like Newsies was the biggest, the big musical that came out around that time, and we must have seen Newsies like 15 times. And every time I saw that movie, it made me want to do acting and singing more and more. So it's always been in my blood that I was meant to be an entertainer.
So when you were younger, and how did your parents feel about that? Did they back you all the way, all your family back you?
My mom, okay, my defining moment as far as what really solidified me wanting to do acting with everything I have, my mom and I had a very love-hate type relationship. And it's not that she hated me, but I resented her as a child because she treated me like I was her right man. I wasn't her kid to her. for her, I was her translator. At 10 years old, I remember sitting at the table with dictionaries trying to figure out how to fill out an application for her because my mom couldn't read or write in English. She could speak English, and she learned how to speak English from watching American television. So for her, it was very difficult to fill out applications for things or to get government help because she didn't know what the hell she was looking at. So, you know, she'd have to hand it to her daughter, you know, her 10-year-old daughter, you know, or I was actually even younger than that, you know, trying to figure out, okay, what does the word applicant mean? You know, not that by 10 I didn't know, but, you know, things like that is an example. And so she was always doting on my brother and sister. And for me, I was very jealous of my brother and sister. I love my brother and sister to death, of course, but growing up, I felt resentful because she paid more attention to them than to me. And it was when we were living in Texas, and she came to a show, and I was playing Queen Zenith in The Little Mermaid. And it was my big scene, and my mom was sitting there in the audience just staring at me like she was watching the most amazing thing on earth before her. And that was the moment where I fell in love with acting, and that was the defining moment in my life that I knew that that's what I was going to do for the rest of my life. I was going to be an actor. Mm-hmm. And that was because of how happy it made my mom to see me do that. And I kind of felt like I was fulfilling prophecy, you know, for her and for myself. Like, she was vicariously living through me, and I was kind of, I was accomplishing things that she wanted to do that she would never be able to do. And, I mean, even to this day, I still feel like I'm doing more than she was ever able to do when she was alive, so.
Yeah, I'm going next week. I'm going back to Chicago for a week. My niece is going to get married. And it's kind of like I know the crowd's going to be on the same corner doing the same shit they were doing. Nothing ever changes.
Huh.
Yeah. But so now, are you still tight with your brother and sister?
I have 7 half brothers and a half sister.
Mhm.
So I don't get to see them all the time. I mean, there's very few times that I've actually been able to spend time with them since my mom passed away my senior year in high school, and after my mom had passed away, we all kind of got split up. I primarily grew up with my one brother and my one sister, and with them I talk to them all the time, and we bullshit and we yell at each other and curse each other out all the time, but we love each other relentlessly. And my younger brothers are in Arizona, and I adore them to death, but it's hard to spend time with them when I'm away so much. And then my other brothers in New York, I only get to see them when I'm out in New York. But, I mean, the nice thing about, I would say, Spanish families is that it doesn't matter how much time you spend away from your family, there's always a love there, you know. They don't feel like I'm resenting them or that I'm ignoring them. They understand what I'm trying to do. They understand what I'm trying to accomplish, and they support me wholeheartedly. And, you know, it's the love that I get from them knowing what I'm trying to do. And, you know, every time that I accomplish something or do something, you know, they'll always remind me, oh, you know, Dad's watching you or Mom's watching you. And, you know, obviously that fills my heart with joy and all that sappy, mushy stuff. But, you know, it's nice. It's nice to know that your family totally is behind you 100%, and I'm the oldest out of all of them. So, you know, I feel like I have so much to live up to. Like, I have to make them proud of me, you know. So that's part of my driving force is that I want to make my family proud of me as well as, you know, make my mother proud of me. And I felt like after my mom had passed away, I felt like I'd lost hope. And the lady who took me in, Mrs. Barr, she was one of the women that I worked with at the school, and she didn't know me from anything except for a student, and, you know, she'd kind of taken liking to me my junior year, and she was always on my back and making sure that I was doing things that I needed to do. And after my mom had passed away, she welcomed me into her home, and that's where the whole me being a Jew comes from is because of them. I love these people. I love these people like they are my family. I mean, they are my family. I consider them my parents as well, and the two daughters, I consider them my siblings as well. And, you know, I love them the same way I love my, you know, Puerto Rican family. And there's there was another woman that took me under her wing with from the Latino Women's Council when I was, you know, getting scholarships and stuff in high school. And her and her family took me in, too. And it was like, I felt like my mom was extending her arms from, you know, I guess, heaven and embracing
yeah.
me by putting these people in my life. You know, the Bars and Nilda and whatnot. If it weren't for these people, I probably would have been another statistic lost, you know, amongst the numbers of, you know, countless women that are pent kids and drug addicts and all that. And I'm not a drug addict and I'm not an alcoholic and I'm not a gambler. And, you know, I'm able to be a productive, somewhat productive citizen versus, you know, a deadbeat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, every once in a while, my mom passed, my dad passed, but every once in a while I get that feeling that you ever get, like, reality slap in the back of the head.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And that was the nice thing is that they never gave up on me, you know. I was giving up on myself. I mean, how else are you going to react when it's your senior year in high school and, you know, a parent passes away? It's hard, you know. And then in the same year, I tore my knee, and my grandfather passed away. So I was dealing with triple tragedy within a 6-month period. Anybody would have thrown themselves overboard, and my ADHD would not allow me to. I was so distracted by the things that I wanted to do and music and, you know, acting and everything. I was like, okay, I got to do this now. I can't cry. I got to go do this now.
Yeah, it's like my partner Bill says, you know, his grandmother had told him that he almost died one night, and she told him, well, God's got a plan for you. He's not done with you yet.
Yeah.
And he told me that about years ago. And every once in a while, it sticks in my head when I get that reality slap in the back of the head. You know, it's either my mom going, don't do it. Do it.
Right. Yeah, I know that feeling. For sure.
Yeah, or my pops telling me, whispering in my ear, going, you deserve what you tolerate.
Yeah. It's a hard knock life, but I think that's why people that are in the entertainment industry are in the entertainment industry is because it's an outlet where everybody else turns to something else instead.
Yeah, you know, this used to be the land of the American dream. And we settled for hope and change. You got shortchanged on the whole thing. Every once in a while, I know you know who George Carlin is.
Of course.
He did this thing about 8 years ago. And I've had it queued up. I was going to play it earlier. But let me play this, and then we'll talk about it after.
They want obedient workers.
retirement money. They want it back. Give it to their criminal friends on Wall Street. They'll get it all from you sooner or later because they own this fucking place. It's a club, and you ain't in it. You and I are not in the big club. It's the same big club they use to beat you over the head with all day long when they tell you what to believe. All day long, beating you over the head with your media. What to believe, what to think, and what to buy. The table is tilted, folks. The game is rigged. Nobody seems to notice. Nobody here. Good, honest, hardworking people. White collar, blue collar, doesn't matter what shirt you have on. Good, honest, hardworking people continue. These are people, honest beings. Continue. These rich cocksuckers who don't give a fuck about them.
Time because it's in everything that people do every day. Yeah, it rings, and that's from almost 10 years ago, and that rings true to today. And it's and basically, I see it every day in my job, but I just can't understand like how you feel about this the government shutdown.
Honestly, I don't. I don't feel anything about it. And here's the reason why. Because no matter how much I get upset by it, no matter how much I get enraged by it, there's nothing I personally can do to affect it. I mean, I can voice my opinion. I can, you know, go on a tirade and, you know, have other people agree with me. But until the masses do something together and until, you know, we come together as a country and unite, there aren't going to be any changes. We are a divided country. We're a divided country. You know, does race play a part of it? Absolutely.
The more these guys, the more the thing that scares them the most, and I'll tell you what it is that all the veterans in this country, all of them, all different age groups, when you start closing their memorials and telling them they that they fought for the right.
Maybe this is what we needed to have an uprising.
Absolutely.
Maybe that's what it is. Maybe it's going to take something like this to get everybody off their asses to understand, you know what? These people are taking away from us more than they should ever be able to. So
yeah,
you know,
they're trying to show you that. They need government government.
We as a whole, as a country, we are a lazy country. Not everybody, obviously. I'm just generalizing, just for the sake of generalizing. We are a lazy country. We are a country that prefers to put our emphasis and our focus on things like Kim Kardashian or stupid Miley Cyrus twerking. We prefer to put our attention and all of our focus on shit that does not matter, rather than the shit that does matter. What about our homeless? What about our homeless children? I was a homeless child. You know what I mean? I know firsthand what it's like to be a homeless child or to be a homeless person. You know, why are we not taking care of what we have to take care of here at home? Why are we so hyper-focused on shit that doesn't matter? And, I mean, that's been an ongoing battle for years now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of those things, until we wake up, until the country as a whole wakes up and stops emphasizing the importance of life on these silly, stupid shit like Miley Cyrus and Kim Kardashian's and, you know, what people are talking about and Paris Hilton and Britney Spears. And once we get our mind off of the shit that's not important and we're able to focus on the shit that's important, that's the only time that change is ever really going to come.
Yeah, my philosophy is if you bend over once, you're going to bend over twice. You know, it's like I belong to the the VFW and the American Legion, and I received letters from both posts telling me that the IRS wanted my name to put on their list because they're keeping track of the vets. And both posts told them to get fucked.
Oh, man. That's crazy.
You know, it's the same thing like this Obama stuff. They're going to, why do they need to hire 16 more thousand IRS agents? Is that to collect the fines you're going to pay? Because you try, you know, I've been listening. I've been calling up trying to get the information. And they're calling systems that don't work.
Our government has failed.
Well, we're getting down to the last few minutes. I'm going to, I'll send you that info. And, if you can make it, send the address to Bill's shop.
Okay, yeah, that would be great. That'd be great.
Get some tires on some Harleys.
Was Kevin still on the line?
No, he disappeared a little while ago.
Okay, because I know he had the question, but.
Yeah, well, I got his number here. I'll call him up, and if you want to come back, you don't have to come back on this show. You can come back on the other show or either whatever one you want.
Sure, I would love to come back.
Perfect.
I want to come in to the studio and definitely meet you guys and hang out with you guys in the studio.
Perfect.
And really be able to shoot the shit.
Yeah, we can hook up. Just like I said, with that thing with Fox, they want to set up some stuff in Bill's shop. And do have 20 or 30 people sitting there in chairs while we run the show or whatever. So I'll keep
you in
the loop on that.
Oh, definitely. I would love that. That'd be great.
Okay, and then I'll send you that info, and I appreciate you calling in and spend some time with us.
Oh, thank you so much. I really, really appreciate it. Joe had called me when I was in Alaska, and I was ready to do it then, but it was a much harder schedule, so... But I'm happy that I was able to make at least part of the show. So thank you, and I appreciate everybody being patient. And I'm sorry that I was late.
Oh, no worries. That happened at the time. Andy McPhee, that played the president of the Belfast chapter, he was talking to us in between auditions. He'd put us on hold and then come back.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's great.
So. All right, you take care, and if you need anything, you know where to holler.
Thank you so much, Phil. I really appreciate it, and thanks, Nora and Kevin, for the questions. It was a lot of fun.
Oh, okay. You're welcome. Thank you.
Thanks,
we'll talk
guys.
To you
Have
soon.
A good one.
You too.
All right, take care. Bye-bye.
All right, I'm going to let a little Attica 7 into the blackness. I'll talk to everybody Tuesday, or tomorrow,
okay.
I should say. Thursday.
Yeah. Good night.
All right. Well, see you soon.
Okay.